May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there was an old country preacher who had a line of converts one time ready for baptism out in a wilderness lake. And he says to the very first one who comes up in this line, he says, "Just a reminder that when I baptize you, everything that goes under the water belongs to the Lord from here on out." And just as the preacher is dunking this new soul into the lake, up shoots the convert's hand with his wallet, making sure it never breaks the water's surface. Well, this morning we celebrate the feast of our Lord's baptism. And it's the first Sunday right after the Epiphany, which those of you who were able to make it to the party on Friday night had a chance to celebrate as we were all wearing crowns, as we celebrated the three wise men as they arrived then. But now we get the jump start 30 years later to kick off the ministry of Jesus. So compress 30 years into 2 days on the church calendar. And the lectionary pairs the story of Christ's baptism, which we read by John the Baptist, with an insightful snippet from the prophet Isaiah that talks about the promised Messiah, plus what the Jewish faithful were expecting from the Messiah that we today get to see fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And at the beginning of our passage from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah is quoting the Lord, speaking to his chosen people. And the Lord describes the kind of person that his Messiah is going to be like, and what the people of God can reasonably expect for him to accomplish for them. "Here is my servant," Isaiah kicks off the passage, and following along, it's easy to see the high and favorable endorsement that the Most High has for his Messiah, and not merely as a servant. Of course, we might expect God to have lots of servants as a divine king rightly should have, but he calls this messianic servant my chosen, the one in whom God's soul delights, the one upon whom he has even placed his own spirit. God handpicks his Messiah. God is quite pleased with his Messiah. God even surrounds his Messiah with his own presence and power. So this messianic figure in Isaiah is someone pretty special to be able to merit such high accolades from God himself. But what of the character of this divinely endorsed Messiah? What's the deal with this rescuer of promise? Well, he's certainly no tyrant. He's not out to make a ruckus like some celebrity showing off for the limelight. He's not out to crush those who are beaten down by life like a bully or a conqueror. And he sure isn't out to reward sycophants or people whose means allow them to pay for special treatment. No, instead, he is one who will be faithful in bringing about God's justice. Justice for Gentile nations as much as for Jews. Justice for those on the fringes or the coastlands, as it says, whose faith might be waning or full of doubt, mired in the muck of daily life, less than perfect, maybe even mixed up with neighboring ideas that aren't exactly orthodox. Yes, divine justice on behalf of the outliers and the imperfect, as much as for those who are close to the epicenters of high spiritual activity, like a place like Jerusalem, where it's far easier to get a jolt of divine assurance or conviction or illumination of the truth or vibrant renewal. This Messiah is a rescuer for everybody, not just some select in crowd. And it's enough to make a world-weary person of faith's heart sing. But God doesn't only have his people in his sights. having talked to his people about midway through our passage, and beginning with where Isaiah says, "Thus says God the Lord," if you're following along, we see a change in who God is addressing. The Lord's attention now turns to his promised Messiah, and God tells his Messiah directly the mission that he is entrusting to his rescuing hands. So God talks to his gentle, non-bombastic, faithful, highly servant of his to reassure him of his calling. God's own hand is keeping the Messiah, and God's call is done in righteousness, not willy-nilly, not in spite of who the Messiah is, unlike what we find oftentimes with some of the other luminaries in the Old Testament, but because of who the Messiah has shown himself to be in the core of his very being. The Messiah is summoned by a holy, creating, life-giving God because he too is verifiably holy. Thus, God commissions the Messiah with a global purpose, a universal mission. He's not merely given a covenant to communicate like he did Moses. No, instead, this Messiah is the covenant that God is making. Wrap your head around that one, right? This Messiah not only speaks and hopes for the best like a prophet, he himself illuminates any heart that is listening. He heals those who are blind physically and spiritually. He sets free those who are bound up, imprisoned, and enslaved by sins committed, unruly affections, and means of oppression, both systemic and personal. The promised Messiah is the start of a brand new day, a brand new life, a whole new way of relating to God and neighbor. This servant of God in the prophet Isaiah is someone who quite literally lives out the life, love, peace, and freedom that previously had been merely promised in law, in shadow, in the hopes of an oppressed group of people just trying to make their way among neighbors who are far more numerous, powerful, or prestigious than they were. This Messiah takes the side of the underdog to make a universal way of rescue for all of us who look to him instead of to our own devices for rescue. Finally, Isaiah's soliloquy concludes with a divine seal of approval, with a verification of truth by means of a prediction. In other words, the messianic promise hasn't quite been fulfilled in Isaiah's day, but God promises when it does, we will look back at Isaiah's own words and say, "That's right, God said this would happen." For us Christians, we can look back with 20/20 hindsight and perceive these messianic promises that we read in Isaiah can be found in none other than Jesus of Nazareth. As Jesus begins his earthly ministry on the church calendar, we can affirm how holy he is, just as promised by the Lord in Isaiah. We can echo our God's praise for how wonderful and worthy Jesus is as the Messiah. We can rejoice over the fact that our Heavenly Father sent Jesus to reconcile the last, the least, and the lost back to his divine embrace. We can see time and time again just how Jesus, as the Messiah, opened blind eyes and freed souls enslaved by sin and death. For nigh 2,000 years now, generation after generation has had the chance to experience the gentle justice of the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Many of us forget how precious, how perfect, how marvelous Jesus is when daily life grinds us down. Many of us neglect the good gift of salvation promised to those who believe, made available each time we take ownership of our baptismal covenant. Many of us don't take time to appreciate those who were once lost are now found. Those who were once blind now can see. Those who were once bound in chains to both habit and hell are now set free. And those who suffer now have reason to celebrate. Many of us forget how Jesus can take a disparate motley bunch of heathen like us and adopt us into a family fit for heaven in his church. We are each one of us beneficiaries of the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So why not take a moment today to recalibrate our hearts towards heaven, to savor our Savior, to choose faith in what Jesus has done over what we hope we can do, to marvel at how God's promises made so many centuries before even Jesus began his earthly ministry, have now been experienced by such a great cloud of witnesses over the centuries since Christ's glory dawned among us with the very light of heaven. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, the lamp of charity which never fails, that it may burn in us and shed its light on those around us, and that by its brightness we may have a vision of that holy city where dwells the true and never failing light, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.